Mosquitoes made big news on the southern Oregon coast last summer when swarms of them bothered residents and tourists in the Bandon area. The mosquitoes found comfortable habitat, and lots of it, in a restored section of the Bandon Marsh National Wildlife Refuge. Since the habitat is still there, the mosquitoes would come back in swarms again this year without some action. The Federal Fish and Wildlife Service proposed action involving several pesticides, and that got the notice of a couple of conservation groups. Their input helped persuade the Fish and Wildlife Service to limit the pesticides to one, a biological and not chemical agent. One of the groups is the Xerxes Society for Invertebrate Conservation, where Scott Hoffman Black is the executive director and our guest on the exchange. Hi, Scott.
Hello. How are you, Jeffrey?
I'm doing well, thank you. Can you give us a quick sketch on what goes on at Xerxes, what it's all about?
Sure. The Xerxes Society is named after the first butterfly known to go extinct due to humans, the Xerxes blue. You know, it might seem like a difficult name, but once you tell that story, it really illustrates what we do. We try to protect the bottom of the food chain. The invertebrates, insects, snails, you know, everything from beetles to butterflies and bees to freshwater mussels. We work with land managers, farmers, we educate the public, and we advocate for better policies and better actions by our federal, state, and other entities.
Seems like a lot of people first became aware of Xerxes last year when you stepped in as part of the whole process with the major bee kills in northern Oregon. But how long has Xerxes been around?
Well, Xerxes has been around since 1971, so quite a long time. It was a small organization, though, until the year 2000, mostly focused on butterflies. I took it over then. We had three staff, and people seem to really get it. We now have 28 staff, and we're working in pretty much all 50 states. We've got seven offices across the United States working on invertebrates. Pretty amazing when you think that we could have that growth working on animals that most people either discount, don't think about, or in some cases fear.
Which leads us to some questions later on for where mosquitoes are in the food chain, for example. But what happened generally at Bandon Marsh? Is this really a case of unintended consequences?
It definitely is a case of unintended consequences. Fish and Wildlife Service was trying to do a restoration process at the marsh that would help restore the marsh and make it better for the animals that live there. And in doing so, unfortunately, they inadvertently created pools that were perfect for mosquitoes.
All right, but would these pools have been there naturally? I mean, it's a good thing to restore habitat in general, right?
Yes, it's a great thing to restore habitat. And some pools would be, but they created more pools than would likely have been there naturally. These pools are not connected very well to the tidal flow, which would really limit the amount of habitat for mosquitoes. So it actually was a real mistake. They've created more mosquito habitat than what would have been there naturally.
All right, so the question is not that there are pools, but how big they are and where they are physically in relation to the surf.
That's exactly right, and how connected they are. Can they flush out? Because these mosquitoes love pools that basically are isolated and that don't aren't connected to flow in any way.
Well, all right. So here again, it just seems a little strange that people are surprised by, hey, look, we got slack water here. Oh, my God, we have mosquitoes. I mean, this is going to happen when you have slack water, isn't it?
It is going to happen. Although, you know, there's been a long history in Bandon with the marsh right there, and there's always been some mosquitoes. You know, everybody is used to some level of mosquito biting down there. But last year it was really a lot more than anybody was used to. There were a lot more mosquitoes. And that caused this outcry, both from some in the public, but also from politicians, really asking Fish and Wildlife Service to take action to control or manage these mosquitoes. And unfortunately, we feel in their haste to try to control these animals, which one you can't control, you might be able to manage, in their haste to try to control these animals, they pulled out the big guns, the broad spectrum insecticides, and these were not needed. They wouldn't be very useful, And at the end of the day, they would do more harm than good.
So there was spraying last summer that brought things to a more manageable level, at least for the opinions of the tourists and the residents.
No, there was no spraying most of last summer. They were trying to figure out what to do, and they were getting lots of public pressure to spray. And by September, they decided they would spray in earnest, 10,000 acres with a broad-spectrum organophosphate. That was the plan. Fish and Wildlife Service designated this an emergency, which really it was not. There is no mosquito-borne disease with these types of mosquitoes. But they declared this emergency to spray a big area within and outside of the marsh. In doing so, they really triggered a public outcry. The majority of residents in Bandon did not want this aerial spraying over their houses, over their parks, and over their refuge. Farmers were worried about contamination of their crops. Of course, organic growers did not want any of these sprays near their organic crops. Most gardeners didn't want this, over their houses. And public pressure and pressure by the Xerces Society helped them to take a step back. They canceled the 10,000-acre spray, and they applied a chemical to these ponds. It's a pretty broad-spectrum growth regulator that kills lots of invertebrates, including crustaceans like crabs and shrimp. So we were disappointed with that, but heartened that they did not do this big 10,000-acre aerial spraying. But the interesting thing, Jeffrey, is that they treated way too late. The mosquitoes were already on their way out. They'd already laid their eggs. What they used did not affect eggs. And so they used this toxic substance and probably didn't do much good last year.
Scott Hoffman Black is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the executive director of the Xerces Society for Invertebrate Conservation. We're talking about spraying for mosquitoes to control mosquitoes or to manage mosquitoes, whichever term you choose, at the Banded Marsh National Wildlife Refuge on the Oregon coast. Join us at 800-838-3760 anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, by email jx@jeffnet.org. So the way you characterize this is the spraying coming that late in the season and not necessarily having any particular effect on what they were aiming for, the eggs. It sounds like it was more political than scientific.
We really think that it was a reaction to try to somehow assuage sections of the public that were wanting them to take action. Yes, I believe it was much more a political reaction to this than a scientifically based management action.
Now, you had mentioned that these are not mosquitoes that carry any disease with them. They are annoying. I mean, did they get so plentiful because the natural predators that might be there for these mosquitoes are not there to pick them off? I mean, since obviously Xerces is focused on the food chain and working from the bottom up, what are the natural predators for these mosquitoes?
There are many. If you have a good, diverse wetland, you'll often have fish. You have other insects, beetles, birds, bats, lots of animals eat mosquitoes, and mosquitoes are actually quite important for the food chain. In this case, the way they created those pools, though, they were isolated and there were not the natural enemies in that system to control them, which is unfortunate. You know, but it is one part of, and I will say mosquito management. Some people do say mosquito control. These are natural animals. We're never going to, quote-unquote, be able to control them. But we can do really scientifically defensible, specific actions to manage them to levels that, one, where there isn't disease spread, if you have mosquitoes that spread disease, and also in certain cases like this where you can lower the incidence of nuisance biting.
So the conditions still exist then, obviously, for large numbers of mosquitoes again this year. And you mentioned that there was no particular effect from the spring on the eggs last year. Did those eggs lay quietly through the winter?
I'm sure they did. The other issue is there hasn't been very good monitoring out at these sites. But the assumption is that what the chemical they put on was late in the season, that it likely didn't affect the egg bank, and that we will be seeing large numbers of mosquitoes again this year. That said, we have tried and true management strategies that are used across the country, and this biological agent called BTI it's a biological insecticide that can control the mosquitoes without harming the wetland environment, the refuge environment, to a great degree, and that's why we pushed that over the use of these chemical insecticides.
BT meaning Bacillus thuringiensis, which is a bacteria, isn't it?
That is right. It's a bacteria. Basically, it is a gut bacteria, and it makes it so that these larval mosquitoes cannot eat.
So, but they were the Fish and Wildlife Service was talking about using some of what you've just referred to, I think, as the broad spectrum pesticides as well as the BTI, weren't they?
Yes, they were. They were talking about using growth regulators, as they did last year, a chemical called dibrome, and these are fairly broadly toxic to all sorts of invertebrate animals within those systems, everything from crabs and shrimp to all of the insects, including dragonflies and others. So we really felt and feel that we have the science behind this and years of experience across the country with municipalities managing mosquitoes successfully, that they did not need to be using these, that if they got there early and used BT, that that this was by far the best way to both manage this unfortunate situation until they can fix it, and also not harm the refuge environment.
Until they can fix it implies what as an ultimate fix?
Well, they are planning to go in and really try to, quote-unquote, fix their mistake. They're going to connect these pools back into the tidal system, which should, over time, take care of this mosquito problem. Because, as I said, there was never really a mosquito problem down in Bandon before they tried this restoration project. So the idea is to unfix their fix and create a system that is less welcoming to these mosquitoes.
All right, so we're talking some resculpting essentially of the restored portions of the Bandon Marsh National Wildlife Refuge. How big an area then would need to be treated, and how long is that expected to take, and when will it begin?
Well, it has already begun. They did one treatment last week. This is a 290-acre area of pools, and they've agreed to limit their treatment using BTI to these pools. They will treat several times over the summer. At the same time, they are planning their engineering fix to, as I said, connect these pools back into the marsh system. Hopefully that will be done this summer, this fall. And our goal is that this be a one-year fix, because even though BT is better than the chemicals that they would have used, it still has an effect on these marsh ecosystems. It will kill all of the flies, not just mosquitoes, but other benign flies that live in the system. And mosquitoes and these other flies are important food sources for animals. So our goal and our request is that they fix the problem that they treat this year, and our hope is that by next year we don't see these mosquito problems.
All right, so potentially by 2015, nobody's going to be talking about mosquitoes in Bandon Marsh anymore. Potentially, but
potentially, mm-hmm. Potentially, if they can move forward with their restoration, that is definitely the goal.
So, Scott, let's talk food chain again. Then if you're treating with BTI and as you mentioned, reducing not just mosquitoes but flies as well, does that mean you might see fewer birds, fewer fish, other things up the food chain in fewer numbers because of the fact that the bugs are gone as well?
Well, if you were to treat over a large area, and that is why we really pushed for Bandon Marsh to only treat these pools that they created. And so we believe that this is a way to really manage this situation and limit the impact to birds and other animals that eat the flies throughout the system, because they're only treating these pools that they created. That said, if this were a larger effort, which was at one time proposed to treat much larger areas of the marsh, that really is a potential consequence. This is an extremely important area for as a flyway for migratory birds, and these birds fuel themselves by eating, you know, hundreds if not thousands of aquatic insects in these marshes. If we're to kill them, lower the number of these aquatic insects in these systems, we certainly could see impact to these birds.
And Scott, how big an area not being treated with BTI?
Oh, it's many, 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 many hundreds of acres. The rest of the refuge. So we're treating much less of an area than they originally. Or at least that they were originally considering. I'm not sure they were proposing that, but they were considering broad-scale treatment. And last year, they, of course, proposed to spray 10,000 acres in and around the marsh, so a much bigger area. So we're very happy that they've scaled this back to a meaningful approach that we believe will be successful with minimal impact.
All right, limited spraying and some engineering work going on to make sure that the conditions that created all those mosquito swarms will not exist in the future. Scott Hoffman Black is the executive director at the Xerces Society for Invertebrate Conservation. Thanks so much for talking to us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
You too. That'll do it for this hour of the Jefferson Exchange. Hour number two coming up. We'll talk to Lois Maharg about her book and blog, The Savvy Insomniac, coming up. Thank you.